His dying breath has brought me to life. I know that it is finished. Oh, oh. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom.
Everybody, let's begin by entering into prayer together. Heavenly Father, we come this day to celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. We celebrate the fact that when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, you saw our situation and gave us the most precious thing that you had, the most precious person in the universe, your Son, who became flesh, God in the flesh. And he went to the cross to die for us, and he did. And he was buried, and 3 days later, you raised him from the dead so that whoever believes in him has eternal life. So as we celebrate this baby coming into this world to die for us, we would just ask, Father, that you would help us to once again, as we revisit the Christmas story, to have more passion and love and gratitude and also more compassion on those who still haven't had this hope instilled in their hearts. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before we get started, I just have a couple of announcements. I guess the big one is Merry Christmas to everybody. You and all your loved ones, and that's from all of us here at Lighthouse Bible Church. I also want to mention that We have a Thursday evening Bible study. All are welcome to come, and we will be having it this Thursday in between Christmas and New Year's. Also want to let you know that the following week, we're going to have it on a Wednesday. So those of you that have a hard time coming on Thursdays but can make it Wednesdays, this is one time only because I had to go away. But the following week, the 3rd, we're going to have that Bible study on a Wednesday. All right, what's going to happen in a moment is that these candles in front of you, you probably wondered why they're there, are going to be lit for our first song. The format for our celebration today is called Lessons and Carols, and we've done this in the past. And what we're going to do is we're going to sing Christmas carols together, and then I'm going to give you a little message, and we're going to do that a few times so that at the same time you're hearing from God's Word, you have the opportunity to sing to the Lord today. So at this time, I would just invite the candle lighters to come forward and do that. You're going to light the first person in the row, and you guys are getting it, and you just pass it across. I'm assuming all you young people are old enough to responsibly handle fire this morning. Is that okay? Good. Good job, men. Everybody got a candle lit now? If you don't raise your hand, somebody's not doing their job. All right. Now, some of you may have guessed, the first song we're going to sing together today is Silent Night. So we're going to have the lights down low, everybody will stand, and we'll sing together.
Not the loss so deep, no.
You may be seated, and you can definitely extinguish the candles at this time. We begin this morning in the Old Testament with the prophet Isaiah. He lived and prophesied about 750 years before Jesus Christ was born. We go to the Old Testament to see that the promise of Christ before he came. And we begin in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea, on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence, as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning, fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. The other prophet that we're going to visit this morning is a prophet named Micah. He too prophesied about the promised Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're going to read just three verses this morning in the book of Micah, chapter 5, starting in verse 2. Micah 5, 2. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you, one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Therefore, he will give them up until the time when she is in labor, has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel. And he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord and in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. The promised Savior. It's interesting how things in the Bible fit together. You know, we've been studying some things lately, and it's pretty wonderful, actually, how they tie into this Christmas story. For instance, on Thursdays, we've been studying something called the Abrahamic Covenant. These are the promises that the Lord made to Abraham in the first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, thousands and thousands of years ago. And yet, the promises that the Lord made to Abraham were and will be fulfilled in this baby, Jesus Christ. We see that the birth of Christ, the prophecies of the birth of Christ, mention it and bring out the fact that the Lord has established this covenant and will fulfill it. We read that the government will rest upon the shoulders of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was promised to Abraham. That was promised to David. We read that there'll be no end. It'll go on forever to the increase of his government and of peace. We long for peace, but we will not have it until Jesus Christ comes back, when he will establish it on his throne and it will be there forever. We read it's the throne of David, the great king of Israel in the Old Testament, and over his kingdom and his reign will go on forever. In other words, this baby born in Bethlehem will go forth from God to be the ruler of Israel and of the whole world. And this has been in place, certain, because he's been going forth to establish this and to perform it as the Bible says, as Micah says, from the days of eternity. You see, that just proves that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And then when he comes back, the sons of Israel will return to their promised land, and they'll never be taken off it again. And Christ, the King of Israel, will be great to the ends of the earth. This time I'm going to invite Hannah forward to sing a song that brings out the heart and the difficulty of Mary as she waited for her child to be born.
Help me be strong. Help breath of heaven, breath of
Well, it finally happened after the prophecies of the Old Testament and the promises made to Abraham and David and the nation of Israel. Jesus Christ was born. And so we're going to read now from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, starting in verse 1. By the way, those of you that are Charlie Brown fans, this is what Linus, I hope I'm right, read when Charlie Brown said, "What's Christmas all about?" This is what Christmas is all about. Let's read it together. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. "Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly afraid. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with that angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.' And when the angels had gone away from them back into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And so they came in a hurry, and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just had been told them." Did you ever notice, and this is really profound actually, that Christmas is first and foremost for little people? Now, literally, that's true, because there's nothing like seeing Christmas through the eyes of a child. The little ones. But it goes beyond that. We saw that Micah said that Bethlehem was too little to be counted among the clans of Judah. And it was the people walking in the darkness that saw the great light. When Jesus was brought to the temple as a baby, there was an old man. He was just mumbling something in the temple about a promise he'd received from the Holy Spirit. He was a little person. And the shepherds watching over their flocks at night, do you know they were considered the lowest of the low in Israel? The reason why was they couldn't leave their sheep to celebrate the Jewish holidays in the temple. And anybody who was anybody was at the temple for the holidays. I guess those people forgot about the fact that there wouldn't have even been any lambs or rams to sacrifice without them being dedicated to their duty. Little people, little ones. They were the people of the hill country. Then they ask the question about these people. Can anything good ever come from Nazareth, that little hole in the wall in Galilee? Mary herself was a humble bondservant. And then there have been people then and now who have been told again and again that there's simply no room for them. And yet it is just these hungry little people that the Lord fills with good things. All right, the choir is going to come forward now, and we're going to all sing Joy to the World together.
Please stand.
Well, this little baby, born in a stable in Bethlehem, grew up. And when he grew up and he reached the age of 30, it was time for him to fulfill the ministry that his father, God, had given him. He would teach and work miracles for 3.5 years in his public ministry. And then he would go to the cross because that was the reason he came. It was time for him to seek and save the lost. And then he rose from the dead 3 days later. Amazing. By the way, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the best attested to event in the ancient world. And by rising from the dead, he demonstrated he is who he says he was, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and whoever believes in him has eternal life, and it's pictured in the resurrection body of Jesus Christ, this very life that we as believers all share now. And then after that, after Jesus rose from the dead and spent 40-some days with his disciples, he was ascended into heaven, where he is today. And then as he was going up, God the Holy Spirit was descending, and for the first time he was indwelling every believer in Jesus Christ. And at that time, with the Spirit indwelling believers, it was then time for the Lord to bring about some things that had been mysteries until the moment when Jesus was ascended and seated into heaven. And those mysteries included the glories of Jesus Christ. The eyes of the people would now be open to all that he really is. And we find that information in the book of Ephesians and in the book of Colossians, and we're going to go there now and spend a few minutes in these two great books. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. The glories of Christ he's given to the church. Notice Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. The glorious thing about God is his grace, his love and righteousness in action for our benefit, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved Christ. In Christ, we have redemption through his blood. Our sins have all been forgiven. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to, again, the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in Christ with a view to administration suitable to the fullness of the times. And that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. And in Christ also we've obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Christ with the Holy Spirit of promise. It was given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. We have the glories of Christ on display as never before in the book of Ephesians as well as the book of Colossians. When you believe in Christ, you're sealed in him forever. This is security. People who want to wonder whether or not you're secure in your salvation, please just, anytime you wonder about that, please just go to Ephesians 1, 13 to 14 as we are right now. In him you also, after simply listening to the message of truth, the good news of your salvation, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, raised from the dead 3 days later, when you heard that message and believed, you were at that instant sealed in Christ with the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, sealed you. He is your seal, keeping you in Christ for the day of redemption. And he's not only that, but he's given as a pledge, a promise of our inheritance. We are adopted sons and daughters of the living God, and he has given us an inheritance. And the pledge of that is no one other than God, the Holy Spirit, with a review to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. All right, Ephesians talks about the glories of Christ in the body, the church, believers. Colossians talks about the glories of Christ himself as the head of the church. This is the pinnacle of what Jesus Christ, who he really is, you know, revealed in all his glory in the book of Colossians. So let's go there now, starting in Colossians 1, verse 13. People wonder, what's Christmas all about? Who is this baby really? This one who was born of Mary 2,000 years ago. Well, this is who he is. Colossians 1, 13 to 20. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness where we all were born, And he transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, Christ, in whom we have redemption. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins in Christ, the beloved Son of God. But here's who else Christ is, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. He is God in the flesh. If you want to know what God is like, just look at Jesus Christ, because he's God. He's the firstborn. He's the head of all creation. By Christ, all things were created. He's the creator of the universe. Imagine that. A little baby in a backwater town called Bethlehem from Nazareth is the creator of the universe. Picture that just for a minute. All right, just picture the little baby. All right, wasn't even welcomed in the inn in the town. All right, and then angels appear to shepherds and say, go see him. And when they get there, they're looking at a little baby in his mother's arms, perhaps. And at the very instant, they're also looking at the creator of the universe. And that's Christmas. If you want to celebrate Christmas, find out about who the baby is. That makes sense? If you're going to be at a birth of a baby, then you really want to know who he is. Well, this is who he is. For by Christ, all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible. Things that we've never seen, Christ created, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities on heaven or on earth. Any throne or dominion or ruler or authority or czar or president or supreme ruler, you put it in there. Christ is the one who created that. All things have been created through him, and notice this, for him. Everything that's been created has been created for that little baby. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. Imagine that. You study in science classes about how there's these forces that hold things together, as if that was really what was going on. As if there wasn't a God doing it, none of that would hold together for an instant. It would all fly off into gosh knows who and where. But Jesus Christ is holding all things together. You know, if there's a marriage that's still together today, it's Jesus Christ who's holding that marriage together. If you can still wake up in the morning and plant your feet on the ground, it's because Christ held the force of gravity together for another day. If you wake up in the morning and you see the sun in the sky, it's only there because Christ established the patterns of everything and continues to keep everything going the way it needs to for us to be here. That's what it means that he in him all things hold together. He's also the head of the body, the church. The church is so precious to God. If we could only, you know, see, and we can through the word of God, the heartbeat of God for his church, the members of the body of Christ, the ones who are just by grace members of his household. Because there's nothing good about us. That's what grace means. All right? It's just that God decided anyway that he would place us into this household. All right, so he is the head of the body of the church, and he's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And he himself will come to have first place in everything. One day we'll see it. It was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Christ. And through Christ, notice this, to reconcile all things to himself. All the things that we see around us that are broken now, especially the human race. But all the things that have been separated and divorced and broken and kept apart from God and falling apart, he's here and he's doing it. He's reconciling all things to himself. The way they originally were when God and Jesus Christ created this universe, created the human race. And beyond that, because now that Christ is risen, he's released these spiritual blessings and he's placed us in this body. That didn't happen till he rose from the dead. That's a reconciliation like no other. He's made peace through the blood of his cross. Through Christ, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Ephesians and Colossians. Oh, by the way, here we go again with things fitting together. Because this year, you know, we studied Ephesians also in our Thursday night Bible study. And what book are we learning from on Sundays now? Anybody? You can speak in church. Yeah, the book of Colossians. And so when we gather together for Christmas, we find that all these things fall into place. The Bible isn't haphazard. These things fall into place. There's a promise of Christ. There's the birth of Christ. There's the glories of Christ. And as we've seen, these books are among the most glorious in the whole Bible. because they reveal God's heart for the body of Christ, the church. And they speak most powerfully about all the glories of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we can rely on them at Christmas time to remind us about exactly who this baby born in a stable really is. And hopefully also give us some inspiration to make the most out of that next opportunity that we'll have to preach Christ to someone who's dying and needs to hear good news. All right, you guys ready to sing a little more? Right? Just getting warmed up, aren't you? Vocal cords are getting warmed up. You really did well at holding that candle. It didn't fall over. Yeah. All right, everybody stand up again. We're going to sing. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King.
Thank you.
Well, today we've heard the promise of Christ from the Old Testament that he would come, that he would be the King of Israel. And then we saw and heard the birth of Christ, when he was born in Bethlehem. And next we've seen the glories of Christ, who this baby really is. And now it's time to hear the good news of Christ. And to do that, we're going to see, first of all, we're going to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 to 11, if you want to follow along. Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. This is what Christ has done for everybody. Romans 5, 1 to 11. This is what he's particularly done and blessed the church with. Romans 5, 1 to 11. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, the world doesn't have peace, but believers in Christ do. All right. Through whom we have also obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. The reason we have peace is because every day when we wake up, we stand in the grace of God. It's our support. It's our blessing. It's our protection. It's our comfort. And we never have to be concerned. Oh, we are concerned, but we don't have to be. We can be at peace. Peace of God that surpasses understanding can be in every Christian heart. We exalt in the hope of the glory of God, as we've seen this morning, that glory in Christ. And not only this, we also exalt in our tribulations. Why? Well, we know that tribulation itself brings about perseverance. The Lord allows us and helps us to hang in there. Perseverance brings about proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the very love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. That's truth about the church right now. But there's also truth here for everybody. And whether you are a believer this morning, and I hope you all are, but I also am realistic to realize that not everybody is a believer yet in Christ. If you are, then these next passages that talk about the gospel, your opportunity to hear it again so that you will be able to give a reason for the hope that's within you and be able to speak a word of hope to those who really, really need to hear it. Verse 6, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. And yet, you know, if that had been the story, if the story of Christmas was that the baby came to die for the righteous man, I don't know about you, but I'd have no hope, because that's not me. Wasn't me. It still isn't, right? If we had to be good people before Christ would die for us, then honestly, the Bible tells us that he wouldn't have died for anybody. Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But he didn't do that. He died for the what? Ungodly. That gives everybody hope. Everybody can say, yes, that's me. Verse 8, God demonstrates his own love toward us. How? In that while we were yet sinners, his enemies, dead in our sins, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we'll be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more now, having been reconciled, we'll be saved by his life. And not only this, we exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. But there's other good news that gets right to the heart of the matter, and we find it in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 4. If you want to be able to simply and completely present the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have to do nothing more than just to go to these two verses. Here it all is. This is the message, the good news of Christmas and every other day. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 to 4. I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So, how is it? What is it? How is it that we hear this good news and then believe it? Well, it's all wrapped up again in who Christ is. And I want you to finally turn to John 11. There was a day when dear, dear friend of Jesus Christ died. His name was Lazarus, John 11, 21. His name was Lazarus, and Lazarus' sisters were so hopeful. They saw their brother so sick and about to die. And they said, but you know, if Jesus would come right now, he'd heal him. But that didn't happen. Instead, Jesus was away, and he heard, and he still took his time going there and was puzzling why he would do that. In fact, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days before Jesus arrived. And when he did arrive, the women, the sisters, were very bold. And they said exactly what you think maybe you'd say in the situation. It's like, how come you didn't get here sooner? They're pretty bold. But there was a reason why he didn't get there sooner. The reason had to do with all of us, by the way. It had to do with what he was going to demonstrate that we could all look to and understand who he is. Let's see it. John 11:21. Martha then said to Jesus, sister of Lazarus, Lord, if you'd just been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, 4 days in the grave, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. I am life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? I would ask everybody today that same question. That's the question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's the resurrection and the life, that he died for you, was buried, was raised from the dead 3 days later? Because that simple belief is the answer to all our problems. It's the answer to sin. It's the answer to death, to despair, to everything, fill in the blank, to the wrath of God. It's all of that. And so I simply believe in the good news that we are then righteous in God's eyes forever, and we have eternal life. And then Mary says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. Well, as I said already, I think many of us today are believers in Christ. It's not for me to judge, but there are also some people listening today, or may listen to this message in the coming days, who are not yet believers in Christ. And you know what? That's a hopeless place to be. See, I can say that because I've been there. It's a hopeless place to be without hope and without Christ and without God in this world. We all know that. Because we were all there. We either are there now, but certainly if we're not, we were there once ourselves, dead in our trespasses and sins. So if I'm describing you today, well, guess what? I bring you the best possible good news today. The book of Galatians says this: when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son. He was born of a woman, that's Christmas, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who are under the law. The law said we were sinners. There was no way out, and yet there is a way out, because Christ came to redeem us by his cross, that we might not only be redeemed, but receive the adoption as sons. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was born of a woman, and that's incredible. He's God in human flesh, and he did so that he could die on the cross for us. He's also the Savior of the world. He died for all our sins, so that whoever believes in him will live forever. That's really why we're here today. That's why we celebrate the birth of our Savior in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. So here today, you too can be embraced by God himself as his beloved, adopted son or daughter. If you've never believed in Christ, now is the acceptable time. I have good news to proclaim to you, just like the angels did on the first Christmas near Bethlehem. Christ the Lord is your Savior too. And the good news is this, again, while you are a sinner, hopeless, dead in your sins. Nevertheless, Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and raised again on the third day. So whoever you today believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Think of it. We were all deserving to be punished under the wrath of God. Every one of us, every human person, falls short of God's glory. And the only way we would ever be reconciled to Him is if He gave us this salvation as a complete gift. And He did. We receive that gift when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, right here, right now. You can believe in Christ too. As a matter of fact, God the Holy Spirit is here today to help you. So just let this good news stir your heart. There's hope. Let the Holy Spirit do and help you. He's going to help you make sure you understand what's being said here. He's even going to nudge your heart in the direction of believing in Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. This baby came so He could die for you. Simply believe in Him. Receive God's gift just like a child will tomorrow morning under that tree. Children find it so easy to just believe, to just accept gifts, to just trust, to just hear some good news and believe it. Be like a child today. I beg you, we all beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. Did you know that He's not even holding your sins against you right now? All He wants you to do is believe in His Son. Believe in Jesus, God's Son, your Savior. Believe in Him now. And trust me, if when you do, it will be your merriest Christmas ever. All right, let's close in prayer. No, let's sing a song. Yes, let's sing a song and then close in prayer. This is a song for all of us this morning. Yeah, stand. That's fine. Well, I'll be brief. Look, I know that you, us folks in Florida, we don't know what a hill is. We don't know what a mountain is. So when you go away, go tell it on the beaches and tell it in your neighborhoods. But tell it. All right, let's close. Father, we thank you so much for this day of hope, this day dedicated to your Son, as every day ought to be. And we just thank you, Father, we've had an opportunity to look through the lens of your word back in time to the hope of the prophets, back in time to the birth of your Son, and now to realize the glories that he represents and the good news that we are privileged to tell. Help us to do it boldly, Father. Help us to celebrate this Christmas as the merriest ever because of who it's about, Jesus Christ. We ask all of this in his name. By the power of the Spirit, we pray. Amen. Merry Christmas, everybody. Have a great Christmas.